Welcome to the Cloak & Dagger Control Room. These are the Cloak & Dagger Internet Radio Briefings, Truth in the Form of Internet. I'm Lenny Bloom, and along with my co-host Sherman Skolnick, the great Judge Buster, tonight once again we exposed the traducing of the sheeple and revealed and uncovered more of the secrets that the Illuminati and other popish persons hope you don't learn. So join us tonight as we continue to expose this fascist criminal element that has seized power in America and elsewhere. That is why our expert guests are macro crime detectives and the best crime fighters on the planet. This knowledge is crucial to the survival of your friends and family to enable you to stay ahead of the criminals behind this attempted world takeover by the American neocons and the New World Order gangsters. Our free briefings air live at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and then they're put in the archives for members. So sit back and relax and get updated. Remember, the American mass media forges the signatures of existence. Meanwhile, Cloak & Dagger reads them. And in an age where truth is just one man's opinion made popular, we must question all reality. Enjoy the update. I'm Lenny Bloom. Once again, tonight's briefing is divided for technical ease into three segments. This is the beginning of segment number one. Welcome to Cloak & Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom. Once again, we're here to uncover the cover-ups, to get down to professional business as criminals, and to take a look at the crimes going on all around us, especially in very high places in the oligarchy. And to join us are the two top crime busters on the planet, Sherman H. Skolnick from Chicago, the great Judge Buster, and one of the greatest crime busters and crime fighters of all time, Tom Hennigan. Welcome to the show. Gentlemen, let's get into the mood. Let's get back into the mood. It's been really something.
Lenny, can I audition you for our music program? Can you sing a little song for us?
I sure can. I've got a couple of stanzas here that we could sing. We could start off with our old song, Illuminati. They put a thing made of tinfoil on top of my door. What is it for? Okay, that's enough tonight. Sherman, I get the sense that Tom wants to get into it. We're running skinny on time. Tom, what's up?
Well, information, I want to welcome everyone all over the world listening to our update tonight. I want to say hello to you, Lenny, and to my great colleague, Sherman Skolnick, out of Chicago. And, of course, what we want to start out tonight is that we want to finger a box criminal. He is currently third in charge of the Justice Department. And we have tied him into the 9/11 treason, to the cover-up of the murder of Vince Foster, and, of course, the overthrow of the American election. His name is Ted Olson. Ted B. Olson, who was directly involved in fraud upon the United States Supreme Court. In the Gore versus Bush 2000 election junta, during the oral arguments, Mr. Olson was asked a question concerning the position of Eugene Olson vis-a-vis Judge Scalia, the fascist thug who, of course, orchestrated the 5-4 ruling. Now, in the questioning that was done by Judge, I believe, Souter, instead of responding directly to Judge Souter, Scalia answered the question for Olson. Now, if that's not conflict of interest and total misconduct by a judge, nothing is. Now, we also have news on Mr. Olson concerning the alleged wife situation, his wife Barbara, who allegedly was on this airplane that was heading from, I believe, Boston to Washington during the diversion of the airplane, of course, to the WTC, to New York City. He has always alleged that he spoke to his wife on a cell phone right before the plane went into its nosedive.
Correction.
Boston to...
He claimed that he spoke to a cell phone operator who represented to him that she talked to his wife.
Yeah, well, apparently he didn't talk to his wife at all.
Right, that's right.
So he talked to an intermediary operator.
Right, right. And apparently Barbara Olson, there were more than three planes. And again, she was on the passenger list, but she apparently got on another plane, not the plane that was part of the alleged terrorist incident. We have news now that there were three planes. Two of them, of course, one went to Cleveland, one went to Africa. And, of course, this was all part of the war game scenario at the time, the NRO, the Reconnaissance Office, Northern Vigilance, Vigilant Guardian. And apparently Barbara Olson is alive and well in a foreign country, wearing a wig, and has had plastic surgery done to her face by a German doctor.
Right.
Now you ask yourself a question, why would she have to leave the country? Well, she and her punk husband, Ted Olson, of course, was part of the Arkansas Foundation, the Kenneth Starr investigation, which was not an investigation of Clinton, but a sweep operation which was designed to grab documents which would have put Clinton and Bush in jail together for treason, money laundering, racketeering, murder, illegal arms sales.
They're Clinton's sanitary department.
That's
sanitary
correct.
Sanitary engineers.
Clintonian's sanitary department diverted it with the sex investigation, which Drudge conveniently helped participate in, a.k.a. Drek. So apparently Barbara Olson's up to her eyeballs in criminal activity. Now she's part of a disguise program to bring take part in this 9/11 apparatus, which, of course, was an attempt to legitimize Bush fraud, who up to September 11th was considered an illegitimate fraud sitting in the White House. He, as far as we're concerned, and as far as millions of Americans and millions of people all over the world are concerned, he continues to be an illegitimate fraud sitting in the White House. This program that took place with the two or three airplanes and her cell phone was called Operation Pearl. Operation Pearl. Now, we don't want to mention exactly what foreign country she's in right now, because we have alerted that foreign nation to her presence and have requested that that foreign nation arrest her immediately. For treason upon the United States vis-a-vis the Florida Gate overthrow of the American election and a disguise program which led to the death and a black op that she and her husband were involved in that led to the death of 3,000 Americans in New York City on September 11th.
Tom, let us discuss and then add your details to the career, or whatever you want to call it, of Theodore E. Olson. He came on the scene first as the purported defense counsel for Pollard, a naval analyst,
Israeli
working
spy
in a very sensitive position, on or about 1985, when he took virtually an entire room of documents, part by part, home, and made them available, reportedly, to the Israelis, an ally of the United States, showing how Iran is a danger to Israel with their plans for nuclear armaments and so on, and also that Iraq is a danger to Israel. And what happened there was, there was a Mr. X or a Mr. Y that arranged this because Pollard did not himself have sufficient authority to have those documents and to take them. They had metal strips in them, which means they couldn't go through security without triggering off the alarm. The alarm was disabled and so on by a Mr. X and a Mr. Y. And who was that that did that? Vince Foster, a law partner in the Rose Law Firm of Hillary Clinton. Okay? Now, what those documents contained, which is a matter of record now, supposedly, that the code was given to Israel for Israel to be able to control by remote American missiles with nuclear heads and so on. They're an ally. What Pollard later said...
Well, that to me is a little bit stretching the point where you give...
But let me finish it.
No. Go ahead.
What Pollard later said in defense of himself was that he'd rather sit forever in jail than sit what Jews call a funeral memorial called Shiva for the Israeli people, which he felt would have been obliterated in a nuclear situation. Now, the Mr. X or Mr. Y was Vince Foster. Casper Weinberger was the one that arranged this for some purpose, and he should have been prosecuted. Instead, what happened is that Weinberger wanted to persuade the trial judge in the Pollard case to put Pollard, whether law provided it for it or not, to the firing squad. Now, here we come to the point. Who was the alleged defense counsel for Pollard? Was Theodore B. Olson that sold him out into this situation. I'm not saying that it's justified to steal documents, give it to somebody else, even an ally, so that they can control by remote the missiles of the United States. I'm not saying that I justified. I'm just saying Pollard thought it was justified.
Well, let's review this again, Sherman. Who gave Jonathan Pollard the codes that allowed him, that would give the State of Israel the ability to control our missiles? Who did this?
Vince Foster.
Vince Foster did.
And a few, and in the early.
And Hillary Rodham Rodenhurst, of course.
Right. And so, if anyone was.
And Casper Weinberger also participated in getting this information to Pollard through intermediaries, and then turning around and accusing Pollard of espionage. Is that correct?
Right, but let me mention
something. Who were the intermediaries in this?
No, Sherman, answer his question. Let's go with Tom here.
The intermediaries were Hillary Clinton and Vincent Foster, Jr. And early in the Clinton administration, a few months after being made the deputy counsel for Clinton, Vince Foster was murdered, and the U.S. Supreme Court in recent times now covered up the case when it came to it this many years later.
Now, do you think that...
Go ahead and make your point, Tom.
I think that's why you have these codes that were given to Pollard. Now, let me say something here, and I want to be very clear about this. No nation on the face of the earth has the rights to the codes to the U.S. missile track.
That's for
that
sure.
That is absolutely outrageous.
Most Americans would agree with you.
I mean, I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's...
That's a given. Go ahead, Tom.
I mean, no nation on the face of the earth would give away the codes to their...
No, Sherman, the rule of thumb at Cloak and Dagger is when a man's on the bicycle, on the unicycle, not the bicycle, let him finish, don't knock him off, you'll get your chance.
Now,
go ahead, Tom. Let's let the
it,
have.
It seems
he's got to have closure
is,
with his moment.
This case has propped up. There's an overlap to this case that Sherman has just detailed very nicely, and that is the fact that Sandy Berger, when he went into the National Archives, and his relationship with Paul Wolkowitz and Clinton and Bush stooges, apparently, one of the things he was interested in through a company called Stonebridge out of Washington, D.C., which is basically an Israeli espionage operation, was interested in getting more information about U.S. missile codes, atomic NATO codes involving the government of France, involving the NATO codes, involving U.S., French, nuclear, Interpol, not Interpol, but NATO secrets, also involving all NATO members. And apparently at this time... Berger and Wolkowitz are under investigation for trying to take these codes out of the National Archives, stuff them in his underwear, and give these codes to a foreign nation, apparently the State of Israel. Now, I got to tell you something. This is treason. You can't do that.
I agree, but...
You can't do that. You can't do that. And any nation on the face of the earth that has the chutzpah and the balls to go this far... get information about the track of U.S. missiles, the track of U.S. NATO missiles. Apparently, there is a fear in the State of Israel because of what is going on in the United States right now with the possibility of an anti-Semitic backlash involving a lot of different issues that we've discussed on this program, that they're afraid that some rogue groups in the U.S. military are going to launch an attack against Israel. And that is what I have been told through my own executive intelligence network contacts, is the reason for this espionage. Now, that's high-level paranoia of major proportion. Would it be possible for someone to launch a missile attack against Israel? Certainly. Would it be possible for someone to launch a missile attack against England, France, Germany, or Russia? certainly. Would it be possible for any of these countries with missiles to have some rogue idiot grab hold of the codes and launch a missile attack?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If he
so
can,
that
if
is
a
why it's
if,
so
if,
important that you have a secure national security situation involving these missiles. That's why the issue, the real issue, is the problem in the old Soviet Union and the Russian Federation right now, where you do not have a safe, secure, what would you call it, control of the Russian nuclear weapon.
Let's finish the Pollard example.
Go ahead, Sherman. The unicycle is yours. No one will interrupt you. Go ahead.
The Reagan administration Secretary of Defense, who replaced Alexander Haig after the attempt to assassinate Reagan, soon after Reagan was inaugurated, was Caspar Weinberger. And Weinberger, you may recall, in the last days of the Daddy Bush administration, pardoned Weinberger, or made it possible that Weinberger could not be prosecuted for treason. Okay? People forgot all that. I didn't forget. What Caspar Weinberger basically did in the Pollard thing was to blame it all on Pollard when the go-betweens, Hillary Clinton and Vince Foster, were involved, and most people just don't understand that Hillary Clinton was not a Democrat. She was a Republican.
She's also Jewish, and
exactly.
And Vince Foster's nickname in the intelligence community was the rabbi.
Okay, now
I can announce tonight on this program that both Hillary Rodham Rodenhurst and Vince Foster were high-level mega Mossad agents operating here in the United States, and still, and Hillary Rodham Rodenhurst still is a mega Mossad agent.
And the reason they were protected is because Hillary had financial links with the Bush family, which most people don't accept. What are you talking
Sherman,
about?
Sherman,
he's a Democrat.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
We know that the French foreign minister and the Israeli foreign minister just had a meeting in Tel Aviv, and a lot of these issues were discussed concerning the theft of the codes. Now, the codes have been changed since then, so whatever information
right.
Berger and Wolkowitz handed over to the Israelis, it's been switched around. And again, Wolkowitz, they're talking about leaving the administration at the end of the end. If Bush is allegedly reelected, he can't be reelected because he never got elected to begin with.
Well, I'll tell you something.
What you got here, now, we know a lot of
information. And let's not forget this, Tom. I want to say this, that I've got my little pet peeve, and that is, let's not forget that there's wars here between nations, but there's also wars between religions. We have religious wars. And it was Sharon of Israel who started the religious war and escalated it.
Hi, this is Lenny Bloom. This is the end of segment one.